It's Tuesday, and I've been setting up this joke since last year. It's the 5th of November. Did you remember?
That's the joke?
Remember the 5th of November? The gunpowder treason and plot?
No? I'll ask again. Is that the joke?
Oh, that's brutal. It's so brutal. Please tell me we're starting with a Jeep Pie to distract from this nonsense. No.
I can't remember. No.
He only gets a mention this week, sadly.
We do have some FCC stories, but honestly, I don't know why I started with this one. Because I wanted to start on a paywall, that's why. Because, yeah.
Thanks, WAPO.
This is, what I like about this story is that the ACLU is at the point where, and we all know they're right, but they're basically just saying, we know you're doing something, so we're just going to sue you. Because we know. Now tell us what you're doing.
The ACLU has sued the FBI and the DOJ over facial recognition technology, criticizing unprecedented surveillance and secrecy. So yeah, pretty much what Ryan said. I mean, we know that they're contracting with a lot of contractors that work on this kind of stuff. We can see that from open records requests. We can infer that a lot of work is being done, but they're not talking about it. And this lack of open and transparent government is sort of scary for citizens.
They did a freedom of information, but they didn't get anything useful from it. Basically some, like, enough to know that, yeah, something's going on.
Your response has been redacted.
But no details. So, hopefully we'll figure it out. I'm sure they are just rolling in facial recognition. I mean, it's an authoritarian dream, right?
How many people do you think have full copies of all of, like, the DMV records and the passport records?
Whoever wants them. They're just in a candy bowl on a receptionist desk. Just jump drives.
It's like, welcome to Langley. Did you get your thumb drive with information on every citizen in the country?
And a little bit of good news out of the court system. Rare. Super rare. But the trolls have been dealt another blow. It's been a pretty good year for anti-copyright troll.
U.S. court shields internet subscribers from futile privacy complaints. Resistance is futile. This is the porn trolls that say that you've been pirating pornography, but the only thing they've got to go on is your IP address. The judge here has ruled that having an IP address is not really sufficient information, and it seems like a fishing expedition because most people will pay this whether or not they're guilty, because it's like, I don't want to go to court and be accused of this because it's embarrassing. And the judge said that, yeah, there is a serious chance of that happening here, so if there's not another way to do this, this is not sufficient information for, you know, subpoenaing subscriber information from an IP address.
Because it's porn. They make porn.
Yeah.
And then they sue you. Yeah. And one of the things the judge pointed out, which was very astute, is these guys have never made any effort to block this at an ISP level.
Yeah.
They want this. Their business model is for
arguably
you to steal their content. So.
Now, this is not the first time this kind of thing has been tried. The whole Prenda Law, Pope Hat thing. Like, Pope Hat did a really good write-up, but those guys are in the pokey now. Prison. It was a bunch of lawyers basically doing fraud.
Yeah, they were doing considerably worse things.
Yeah.
Presumably, these people are not cheating in those ways, but they're still slime.
I mean, imagine how bad it is for lawyers to be sent to jail over their behavior. It's pretty bad. So.
We all know that reviews online are fake. At least I hope you know that. If you didn't, I hate to burst your bubble.
Except for the level one reviews. You can trust those. Be sure to watch those ads.
Do we even have reviews on our e-store?
Hardware. No, not we review hardware.
But everything else is fake, and it's pretty bad. I find it's a pretty good rule of thumb. It is like, just look at the bad reviews and think about how many there are. Not in relation to the good reviews, just how many in total. And read them and see how bad they are. And then just completely disregard the good reviews. And you can get kind of a better idea. Because nobody's going to fake bad reviews, right? Well, I guess a competitor might. It's less likely, I think. But I guess I'm wrong. Because the FTC says there's no problem here.
The FTC fosters fake reviews on its own, commissioners say. Now, I expected to read this. And I expected that the FTC, like, because it's really hard. Like, how would you know? Fake online reviews. It's like, you know, just a really enthusiastic person at an ad agency could be like, well, I own this product. I'm going to leave a good review for it. I'm just trying to do a good job for the ad agency. And No, this particular case, it was literally like the FTC walked in on somebody being murdered, and like mid-stab, it's like, oh, hey, how's it going, FCC? Oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm just murdering the person here. And the FTC's like, well, you can't do that. You got to stop. And they're like, all right, I guess we can agree to not do that anymore. So, yeah, that's completely fine. Not really the response to murder and overwhelming evidence of murder that you would expect.
So it was the 3-2 split, and the two came out and said, this is ridiculous. We have the evidence. We have the proof. Nothing happened. Obviously, the next company that does this is going to assume that you're going to make more money with fake reviews than you'll ever pay in fines. So, probably right.
It's terrible.
May not be getting away with murder, but it does affect a lot more people.
Well, I mean, defective product? I don't know. Sometimes I like the defective, the bad product reviews, because you read those and it's like, oh, this person's a moron.
Yeah, it could go both ways. And yeah. Sometimes they'll be like, I ordered this on, you know, Tuesday the 5th, and I didn't get it till the 26th, and I'm leaving a 1-star review, and it's, oh, that doesn't really reflect on the product, does it?
Yeah.
That's Amazon. So, you can really get a good feel. If it's a bunch of reviews like that, then I have a lot of confidence. But if it's like, you know, this is my third replacement, and then there's a response from the manufacturer, it's like, and it's just word soup, means nothing, then run away from that. Run screaming from that. Because they have a PR person dedicated to that because the product is so bad.
I think also everybody's forgotten about Consumer Reports. It's like the last bastion of good reviews of consumer products. Or maybe not. I don't know. Some people say that Consumer Reports has turned really horrible.
I don't know. I've never been willing to pay for it.
And thus we find ourselves in the microcosm of content on the internet.
We talk about facial recognition constantly now, and it's a hot topic because it's kind of weird. You have, I guess GDPR precludes all facial recognition pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So that'll be an interesting fight. Here in the U.S., it's all over the road. Some cities are banning it. Some cities are welcoming it, just welcoming Amazon in. And then you have Australia.
We're a ring neighborhood here. You're going to have to agree to that if you move in.
But some politicians are clearly making this a focal point in this election season, and Booker is one of them.
Booker introduces bill banning facial recognition tech in public housing. So if you provide public housing and you want to install facial recognition technology for whatever reason, nope. Just too much of a bias, too ornery, I guess, for people that might be in public housing. And I kind of agree.
Also, shouldn't we be maximizing the quality of public housing for the money spent since it's taxpayer dollars?
Yeah.
Is facial recognition really going to help the people living there?
I'm sorry, you've become too methed out. I no longer recognize you. You're going to have to add at least one more tooth back before I can recognize you.
Put on 20 pounds. So, yeah, that seems like a decent enough. You know, I'm against the government inserting their hand, but since they're already paying for that. Huh? Makes sense. We did stories about several smart devices in the home and how they're always listening. Despite this, people are continuing to buy them in droves and put them in their homes, and they seem to be surprised every time this happens, and it's not going to stop happening.
Alexa, is he guilty of murder? Amazon device may have heard slaying, the cops say. That's a nice headline, Sun Sentinel. Yeah, so there was a smart device in this home. There may have been, you know, there was definitely a murder in the home. The Alexa may have been the witness.
Well, no, it's not necessarily. So his story, this, look at this unflattering crop. His story is there was a spear on the bedside, and they were fighting, they were arguing, and he tried to leave, and she grabbed onto him, and as he was pulling away, she fell on the spear. Seems pretty likely to me. Seems like a story with no holes in it whatsoever. The cops think that the spear may have been wielded at the time. And they think that Alexa knows the difference. And they got it. Amazon gave it to them right away. Nobody knows if it actually has any proof or anything in it.
But guess we're going to get a follow-up at the trial. I don't really want to laugh at this, but I also have to wonder if it's like, you know, they play back the recording and it's like, what are you doing with that spear? Put that down. And it's like, oh.
I can't believe you spent money on that stupid spear. A spear at the bedside should be a red flag, ladies. Or guys. We talked, I don't remember if it was last week, but recently about Comcast being very upset that Google is thinking about encrypting DNS because Comcast likes to look at your DNS.
Oh, but they say not.
Well, it's interesting because they don't want to look at it, but they want to be able to look at it. It's like a Schrodinger type situation.
Digital News Daily says Comcast touts privacy policy while reportedly fighting Google's encryption plans. So, yeah. The thing that I like about Google's encrypted DNS is that it's really a push to get more people to use encrypted DNS, and you don't necessarily have to use Google services for encrypted DNS. So Comcast really has a hard time justifying this. It's like, do they not want to move the standard forward? They want to make this about Google, but this is actually part of a larger standard. So,
yeah, well, it's weird. It's a weird argument because they're saying, obviously, Google will just turn around and use this data to advertise to people. And then the critics are like, well, you're doing that. You're trying to stop it because you want to do that. And they're like, so how dare you? We would never do that. Why would you even assume? And it's like, well, you're assuming that about Google. So.
Yeah.
Google does have a track record of that. Let's not pretend otherwise. And yeah. Google, they say they won't as well.
Well, you don't have to use Google's services for encrypted DNS if everybody will adopt the standard.
But if you do,
yeah.
I'm saying it's not guaranteed they're not going to try to use somehow. Yeah, we can't. Google's not the good guy here. They're just the less evil guy.
The ISP was also unable to articulate other reasons like Steam Cache, for example. Steam Cache would depend on not having encrypted DNS. Or Netflix caching, like if your ISP wants to cache movies, it would need unencrypted DNS because those requests do have to be modified on the fly. There is a mechanism for that in modern encrypted DNS, but that kind of stuff would need to still be not encrypted, so...
Those caches are usually garbage anyway.
Well, yeah. And that's so frustrating because it makes everybody's experience terrible. It's like bad ISP.
Yeah,
stop that.
It makes it terrible from someone who owns a competing product. There's no conflict there.
Yeah, if you want to do this experiment on your own, turn your VPN on and then try Netflix. And if you have a better experience with Netflix with your VPN on, your ISP is messing with you and you should have this encrypted stuff.
That they don't want you to have.
That they don't want you to have.
You might not have known it, but for the better part of 3 years, there's been a secret spaceship secretly flying. And now it's back.
The Air Force space plane returns to Earth after a 780-day mission. Nobody was on board, but it finally landed. The X-37B space plane has successfully returned. It looks kind of like the space shuttle. It also has a deployable solar array, so I guess it can fly into orbit, deploy its solar array, collect some energy, and then come back to Earth.
Yep. For 3 years, apparently. They won't tell us what it's been doing. They say it's science-y type stuff, but it's fully classified, and it's Air Force, so we're not sure.
It didn't land because it had to. It landed because it needed some technology upgrades with even more awesome spy technology.
You had to put the hypersonic missiles on it. We didn't have those 3 years ago. We talked a while back about Sidewalk Labs. Now, Sidewalk Labs was this weird rapture-like dystopian plan for Toronto, was it?
Yeah.
And a lot of people got a look at it, and they said, oh, no. This is really terrifying. We shouldn't do this. And Google was like, oh, you know what? We never intended to do that at all.
Not Google, but well, I mean, kind of Google.
Well, Google has like bought these guys, and it's basically Google. And so now we have some leaked documents from 2016. I think that was before the whole thing blew up. And it seems like, yeah, they were definitely going to do all that.
Sidewalk Labs document reveals company's early vision for data collection, tax powers, and criminal justice. So the Globe and Mail has done a pretty good job writing this up. Whoever put the Sidewalk Labs things together, I don't think they had ever read a book at all. Like, not one book. And especially not any book that deals with, like, any kind of dystopian future or even just philosophy. like how humans behave.
So they wanted to be able to charge their own taxes and put that back into the community the way that they chose, not like, you know, dispersal from any kind of laws or anything. They wanted criminal, like, intervention type stuff. Like, they didn't want to go through the regular justice system. They wanted to have their own version of it.
But, like, what was criminal exactly seemed to be really blurry, because they had the Chinese-style, like, loyalty points or, like, good boy points that you could, you know, collect and then get things.
Like murders.
I don't think you could get enough good boy points.
Just charge off a murder. Well, it's a lot of points. You have to smoke a lot of Marlboros to get that many points. They also wanted the Chinese-style tracking of everything. They wanted to follow you everywhere. And, you know, it was all just big data in the most dystopian way. And usurping all the laws and checks and balances in the most dystopian way. So, in their defense, they said, we were just, you know, spitballing. That's not going to be how it is. Don't worry. But at one point, that's how it was going to be.
Netflix expands.
Oh, sorry, I thought I heard maybe Krista. Krista's not here today, in case you didn't notice.
Yeah, she's not. I had to check too, and it was like, oh, what's going on? Netflix expands into a world full of censors. This is the New York Times article. This is kind of a long article, but this is talking about something content creators on YouTube have been experiencing for a while now. And that is, as content creation expands into wider markets, things like this is illegal in like a bunch of countries. This is illegal in a bunch of countries that YouTube outsources content moderation to. But it's not illegal here in the U.S., so it's okay.
So Netflix is on the internet, and that was always the beauty of it, right? There was no censorship because it's on the internet. It's fine. But Netflix is in all these other markets now, and it wants to stay in those markets. So in a myriad of ways, it's censoring the hell out of its content. Now, two girls kissing, that doesn't surprise you, right? There are definitely some countries, mostly in the Middle East, where this is like death sentence kind of stuff. The weirdest one I thought was actually going in and digitally removing cigarettes from content.
Banned.
Because any kind of addictive substance, was it Turkey, I think? You can't put an addictive substance on the air in Turkey.
That seems like awfully, I don't know, like there's a good forethought for that. I would have expected like China to do that as well with the whole, like they're still sensitive to like the whole opium thing.
Yeah. But anyway, if you are in one of these countries, expect to get some twisted results in your Netflix. They still want everything. Oh, they mentioned in India, there was a movie that wasn't really there wasn't that it was like sex or violence or drugs or anything. It was just kind of critical of India. And they put it on there in the edited version, and then the Indian people went crazy, and they're like, no, we won't show it to us. And then they showed it to them, and then the outrage from the other side just flooded in. You can never make them all happy.
This is going to manifest in a lot of really hilarious but also super disturbing ways. Like, there's going to be somebody from one of these countries that posts on a message board about a movie like Apt Pupil. And I was like, no, it was just a relationship between an old man who never had any children of his own and, you know, a young boy. And it's like, that was a good way for him to spend his senior years.
What about a creepy situation where it's always been rumored that it was a creepy situation, but it wasn't really presented like that? For example, Lost in Space. How much do you read into it?
I think reading into it is probably one of the more fun things about that.
But if you're a censor in Turkey, what are you going to do?
I think it's a tough choice. The people from Turkey that then start posting on message boards, it's going to be amazing because you could like green text them and be like, this is what was happening the whole time. And they're like, what? No. And then they go back and watch it again and they're like, that was happening.
But that's kind of what 4chan does with the whole, like, you know, turning everything into a white supremacist symbol. And it's worked amazingly. So I think, you know, even hyperbole will eventually get folded into the censorship. So, like, it still could be fun. See what you can come up with.
Can you imagine the outrage today, like, of a modest proposal? Like, that would just, like, people would be just going crazy and there would be, like, you know.
Somebody just tried that recently with the climate change thing. Like, we should eat the babies. And a lot of people, there was no understanding of a modest proposal. So, it is the vogue thing to do if you're the least bit dictatorial in your government, to just turn off that internet. But if you're a European country, you can't be seen with that crowd, right? I mean, come on. This is the West. We can't just be turning off the internet. But we can do some other things.
Spain and GitHub are blocking an app that helped protesters organize. As thousands of people protest in Barcelona, an app meant to organize activists was blocked by GitHub on the request of the government. Not illegal here in the U.S., but Microsoft wants to do business in Spain, so here we are.
I think this is 100% because it's Microsoft's GitHub.
Yeah.
I think old GitHub probably would have been fine.
Yeah.
Another page out of the China playbook. It's amazing how many countries in the world right now are protesting on a massive scale.
Why does Microsoft need to own GitHub? Why couldn't they just set up some other company and invest? Like, if they want to invest in GitHub to steer it a certain way, there's no need to publicly own GitHub.
So they can do stuff like this.
Mm.
That's a win for them. That opens up a valuable market. They can partner with the Spanish government.
Well, I'm just saying that the company that has diversified its assets in ways that are not necessarily secret, but, you know, like, if you want to put, like, if you're a government, if you're a despotic government, and you want to put pressure on, say, Microsoft or Adobe for carrying their products or whatever, that Microsoft and Adobe would be in a better position from a business standpoint if those governments were not able to identify which things belong to what company.
But you're thinking of it only in one direction. When it's time to go to the negotiating table with the Spanish government to give them products and services, you want to remind them.
We're going to turn everything off.
In the past, we've been very helpful. And you can trust us to continue to do that.
That is really horrifying. That's how things work.
And speaking of, let's say Microsoft didn't own them. And that GitHub, you know, that repository was allowed to stay up. There are other ways that a government can go after you.
Text editor, this is Notepad++, releases the free
Uyghur or something.
We should deliberately mispronounce it to get around.
We've mispronounced it every time.
Well, that's good because of the YouTube algorithm. So they've been swamped with Chinese spam. So not just Chinese spam, also a denial of service attack and a bunch of posts from people that are like, yeah, we're not interested in political stuff. You just make Notepad++. And this is a small company. This is not owned by anybody. But this has to do with the refugees in China, that there may be some concentration camps things.
That's the Muslim minority.
Yeah. So
they don't seem to care for.
Maybe not the best situation.
Yeah, these are nationalist minded Chinese people or government funded people, I don't know. And they're creating support tickets and spamming the message boards and just doing everything they can to mess with. And this version of Notepad++ functionally is exactly like every other version.
It was just a minor version update.
And they just named it this.
Yeah.
Which was probably dumb.
I think the reading between the lines and what the Notepad++ author said, I think this was more of an experiment to show the kinds of astroturfing. It's not just astroturfing. It goes well beyond that. But to show like the kind of crap that will get stirred up, even if you just make a really minor thing.
It's cancel culture.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished, if that's what they were going for. And speaking of China, you know what? All the drones are made in China. Somehow we overlooked this critical thing. I guess like the military ones aren't. Although there's got to be parts, right?
Yeah.
But if you're talking about the DJI and the commercial type drones, you can't find one outside of China, as our military has unfortunately discovered.
The U.S. Interior Department to ground its drones over Chinese spying risk. The latest escalation of trade tensions between the U.S. and China will bring down 800 drones. That doesn't seem like very many.
Well, I don't.
800 kinds of drones?
No, I think it's... How many do you think there are in each state?
Yeah, well, you know.
Not that many. There's one probably per major city, or maybe like five per major city, and then dotted sporadic coverage everywhere else. They're going to keep the emergency drones in the air. I don't know what the emergency drones do. I guess they look for lost
wildfire.
People.
They mentioned wildfire, yeah. and some of those, but not any of the... no military use, basically. They're like civilian use drones. for things like firefighting and monitoring wildlife and crap like that.
Well, hopefully military drones are not flying over the mainland ever. I can't say that for certain.
That's definitely not. We've lost nuclear weapons over the mainland. There's still a nuclear weapon somewhere in the southeastern region of the United States. No idea where it went.
But anyway, they're going to have to do some kind of audit and try to figure out, are the Chinese spying? I mean, we know they're spying. Are they using the drones to spy? That's the question. And speaking again of China, this one's weird because you read the headline and you're like, wait, weren't we already doing this? Well, they found another way, another avenue to try and punish China politically.
The FCC has targeted China's Huawei and ZTE. The U.S. moves to cut off the telecom giant from subsidies. So this is the FCC. This is Ajit Pai that we kind of mentioned before. But it turns out that American taxpayers are paying these companies through subsidies for their products and innovation and like the deployment of 5G network and, you know, the number of subscribers they serve. So the FCC is like, since you guys are on the ban list, we're just going to make you ineligible for subsidies as well.
But more importantly, he wants all of the Huawei equipment stripped out of the infrastructure, and he's willing to give up that universal fund money to pay for that. So Ajit Pai has said, I'm going to give you American taxpayer dollars to replace perfectly functional infrastructure because it was made in China.
Scary.
And, you know, because the internet situation in America is so great, we don't need to expand it anymore.
That would suggest that they found some sort of critical vulnerability. If only they would share that with the public so that we could, like, if you had the resources of the U.S. government say, we cannot trust the software on these devices, we would like to create an open source software to run on these devices, here's a bunch of money or here's a bounty for that. Seems like that problem would get solved real fast.
If you had millions of dollars, sure. But I'm not sure that's exactly what they want, because then that opens it to everyone.
Yeah. Millions of dollars is not a problem, because there's definitely that in the Universal Service Fund. But good Lord.
So China, kind of feeling the heat, you imagine, from all of this political stuff flowing over into the business world, the trade world. I think they're kind of done playing games, and they're like, okay, it's not going to get better. So let's just do our own thing. Here's billions of dollars.
China to funnel $29 billion towards its chip ambitions. So China's going to spend $29 billion basically on their microprocessor industry. Not necessarily making a new microprocessor or anything like that, although that could come out of this. This has to do with basically removing foreign dependence. So not just Intel and AMD, think also about Samsung and other companies that produce microprocessor architecture. You saw some of this with China and AMD. AMD had a really good relationship with China until the State Department just sort of poo-pooed that. And AMD feels like they did it in such a way that they didn't really give up any intellectual property to China, but it was China working on, you know, a derivative of Zen-based cores.
Probably not a bad idea, although it is sad that we're in a world where technology isn't moving forward globally. It's being splintered. And you know, there's, you know,
it's going to slow progress.
Yeah, work is going to be repeated on a grand scale, and we're going to overall slow down.
Yeah. But it seems like the solution here would be to be more open.
Yeah, but I mean, we can't.
We can't hoodoo people if we're more open about things and honest about the whatever.
But I mean, we can't sit here and pretend that China isn't spying hard on everybody.
Or us.
Yeah, so I think everybody's in the wrong here, and nobody's going to be the first to stop doing that.
Yeah.
So, also, there's the whole copyright thing with China. We're pretty cavalier about that. Although, you can make the argument that if we softened up on that like they did, innovation would move forward faster.
I think that's
just be stolen.
The argument that moved that forward for me was the biomedical side of it. It's like, well, this drug is copyrighted, but it could save a whole bunch of people. And it's like, well, Joe Bob Smith, you have survived, but you are liable for copyright infringement of the cure. It's like, all right, sounds good.
You know, that's really moves the biomedical forward. Organ harvesting. Jeez. I'm gonna crack some eggs. Oh, Venezuela. Venezuela has had a bad year, you have to say.
Several years.
And one of their biggest problems, no, not one of their biggest problems, relatively minor, but if you're someone who uses these products in Venezuela, Adobe being locked out because of sanctions might have hit you pretty hard. And here's a tiny, tiny sliver of sunlight in your world.
Adobe has gotten a U.S. license to operate in Venezuela despite the sanctions. And so this is subscription software. So Adobe, we covered this when it was like, oh, your Adobe software is going to stop working. It stopped working for a time. It's soon going to start working again because Adobe can now sell to end users. The sanctions are meant to affect the government and government users, not the citizenry, according to the State Department person here. So,
good news for those Venezuelan video editors who don't have electricity. We talked about the UK porn filter, and boy, was that a bad idea. It was a bad idea to start with. There's no way they could have ever done it. It's simply impossible.
We mocked it openly as soon as we heard of it.
So it was a bad idea to start with, and then when they started to build the infrastructure, it was a bad idea that they used to build the infrastructure. When they set up the whole, like, how you confirm yourself, that was a bad idea. And ultimately, surprising no one, it had to be scrapped because everyone hated it and it didn't work, which is exactly why Australia said, we should do that.
Australia actually wants to use face recognition for porn age verification. They looked at everything that went wrong in the UK and were like, you know what? Face recognition. That's going to work even better as compared with the age verification system. What an incredible waste of money and resources.
And it's never going to work. What is interesting about this article, though, they talk about how in Australia, the face database was originally just people coming into Australia. They're like, oh, you're coming into Australia? We got to scan you. And then very slowly, or actually not even that slowly, they started creeping out into more and more reasons to scan everybody. And of course, it comes to this, and it's just like, yep, we're going to scan you all. You're all going to be the database. And you can't look at porn unless you are. It's a good way to get everybody.
Grab your torches and pitchforks down under.
I wonder, because they don't seem to torch and pitchfork about much in Australia. Could this be the tipping point? Something that touches everyone's lives. Russia, on the other hand, we have the Chinese way of controlling the internet, which is the firewall. And then we have, you know, like the Middle Eastern way, which is turn it off. And we see Spain, you know, it's like, just mess with GitHub, do some Turkey, let's censor Netflix. Russia has an entirely different paradigm. They've rethought it completely, turned it on its head.
Russia just brought a new law to try to disconnect the internet from the rest of the world. So if you are a company and doing business in Russia, you have to build your infrastructure so that if an order comes down from the Kremlin, you got to unplug.
I don't think this is as much about unplugging. So they're kind of selling it as if something crazy happens in the world, we want to be able to, you know, just retract and be inside our own shell and protect ourselves from it. But I think it's more about as hard as we try, we can't cut off all these little tendrils that are wiggling outside of our control, out of our dragnet. So with this law, it basically makes any of that illegal, and they can go after it a lot harder. So everything that's going out of Russia, they can look at.
It's still going to be hard to deal with, but we'll see.
It's going to be incredible. But I think they know they can never stop it. But what they can do now is when they find you circumventing it, it's illegal and they can lock you up. So, WhatsApp. WhatsApp is so huge in the rest of the world. I'm always surprised by it. Like, not only are the normies using it, but apparently the government's using it as well, which makes it a very, very juicy target if you're one of these malware companies. And one of them hit the jackpot.
Reuters has a pretty good write-up on this, and the headline is, "Exclusive: Government officials around the globe targeted for hacking through WhatsApp." So, yeah. Are you a government official, and do you use WhatsApp? You may have put your constituency at risk.
So, this company, was it NSO, I think is what they're called?
Yes. We're going to be learning more about them in a bit later.
NSO figured out a way to hack. So there's one of these Israeli companies like Cellebrite and Grey Key. And they figured out how to hack WhatsApp the same way they figured out how to hack cell phones. They're all about selling these hacks to law enforcement, though, which is a weird...
But like, law enforcement where?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, we're making this for law enforcement, but really it can also go to states for, you know, espionage type stuff.
So if Stalin were alive today, he could just, you know, call up this group and be like, hey, I need control of this politician's phone. So, yeah, it sounds good. Your rubles are good here.
Yeah. Wow. I think almost anybody can. But, you know, that's kind of like they're hiding behind that shield of like, well, we don't just sell to anybody. This is for law enforcement and, you know, trusted people like dictators. And so all these people got hacked. And this is one of the rare perfect transitions into the social media section. Because WhatsApp, who owns them? Facebook. And Facebook was very unhappy about this, as you might expect, because it exposes their vulnerability, makes people less likely to use their service, and embarrasses them. So they retaliated almost immediately.
Facebook has deleted the accounts of the NSO group workers. So the deletions have come after allegations that the NSO exploit targeted 1,400 WhatsApp users. Yeah. Facebook, not only did they delete them, they also filed a lawsuit against them. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Well, they filed a lawsuit against the company.
Yeah.
But your individual personal Facebook account, if
also
you
gone.
Work for them, was just wiped out. And a lot of these people were kind of incredulous, like, I can't believe that they did that. But then it's like, is there any, do you have a mirror? Do you own one? Because you kind of have to look at what you did. But yeah, it shows you, and the outrage among them shows you how powerful Zuckerberg is and how he can just yank that account away from you and it will ruin your life in a lot of cases because people are totally, you know, invested in Facebook.
I don't know that it would like ruin your life. It's maybe we're doing them a favor on a long time.
Well, not you.
Well, yeah.
Because you don't use it, but some people are just completely invested in it.
I must have this. It's like, yeah. No, I can't talk to anybody anymore.
And you've lost all that history and all those likes. Dark.
Oh, wait. This is out of order. The next one has got to be the Twitter story. Oh, no.
Why would we put Twitter with the Facebook block?
Well, I guess we could. Okay. Because they don't know that yet. We'll talk about it. It's fine. We got the next headline from The Hill, which is...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, oh, well, it's fine.
Zuckerberg has doubled down on Facebook political ads policy after the Twitter ban. We haven't talked about the Twitter ban yet, but Jack Dorsey, the guy at Twitter, has said we are not going to do Twitter political ads. We'll get to that. But this is Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg has said, no, we're going to do Facebook political ads. That's the thing. Only the politicians can run false ads, because if a politician is lying, we're not going to step into that. That's crazy. But political action committees and campaigns and things like that, they are not permitted to run ads that contain lies. Only the politicians themselves.
You know, there's a story, and I must not have put it in this section.
Oh, it was definitely in there.
No, not that one. It was the guy... Oh, it's in the nonsense section.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it.
At the end of the week, we've got an amazing story that is just the juxtaposition of all this. But you got to wait till Friday on that one, unless you're on Patreon, in which case you get it immediately.
But yeah, Dorsey kind of threw some shade at Facebook when he made his announcement. I was like, yeah, we're not going to be like them. We're not going to do political ads because it's wrong. But I kind of respect Zuckerberg's position here. You know, I mean, it's like, no, we're not going to censor him. And they always lie. He's not saying that because he's, you know, trying to... But I think that's the message. If you banned every political ad that lied, who decides what the lies are? And how could we ever have political ads? It's ridiculous to try to think that you could censor that. Because one side is always going to be dissatisfied.
I would think that if somebody lies, that they would still be liable for that somehow.
But you, like we talked about this before, you're going to create 1,000 Supreme Court cases overnight because no one's ever going to back down and say, no, the other side was lying.
Yeah.
And then you've got like the problem of statistics where both sides could be confirmed based on how you massage it.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's a never ending, it's just quicksand. And I think Zuckerberg understands that with his, you know, oversized logic unit. He's playing 4D chess here with these politicians. Remember Cambridge Analytica? Man, that's a gift that keeps on giving, right? Especially if the UK government. And this is kind of a weird move out of Zuckerberg. I guess this is probably just like, let's get this under the rug as quickly as possible.
Yeah, that's what this is. That's what I read this as. Facebook has agreed to pay the Cambridge Analytica fine to the UK. I also read this as dodging GDPR, because remember, all of this happened before GDPR, and this fine really was not severe.
What was it, like $600,000?
$500,000 fine.
That's nothing to Zuckerberg.
No, but yeah. It would actually cost him more money. If there was a $500,000 bill laying on the sidewalk, it would cost him more money to bend over and pick it up than it would to just go on to work.
He just won't take an extra vacation this year. Actually, one of his supporting staff will not get to go on his vacation with him this year.
Just the one.
Yeah. The guy that uses a giant leaf to fan him as he's sitting in his his chair by the beach.
Yeah.
Deepfakes, they're a plague upon the world. Not really, but it could get weird because we're definitely going to get to the point where no one knows what's real and what isn't. In video terms, that's already true overall, right? But Facebook may have a very interesting answer to this question.
Or an arms race. Facebook alters a video to make people invisible to facial recognition. Once again, I think this is an arms race. So in the example video, it's like the algorithm immediately detected and then almost, but not quite, imperceptibly generated an image.
I percept it quite a bit. That looks like a very different person. It almost looks like one of those like makeup, no makeup comparisons. Don't you think?
The AI has been trained with makeup, no makeup.
So the idea here is it knows what makes a recognizable face. And so it kind of anti-deepfakes it by making it in such a way that it's not something that deepfakes can use. It takes all the learning points from the deepfake and blurs it out, but still makes it, I mean, you know, you can be the judge. I think you would still recognize that person as a human, but a deepfake wouldn't necessarily, and it wouldn't be able to lift that face and replace it.
But again, I think this is adversarial. It's like it's just a matter of making the network better. Remember we did this story on the Rubik's Cube and they would mess with the hand solving it. And also they ran through a bunch of simulations where they like perturbed the simulation to kind of create an adversarial neural network. I think the next generation of deepfakes is going to have some kind of adversarial network running like this. And the next generation of deepfakes is going to be that much more deepfakey.
But the next generation of this could give you a better picture without allowing deepfakes to use it.
Yeah, that's true.
So we could get to the point where they're both damn near perfect and useless.
Yeah, it's a literal arms race.
Or not useless, but if one stopped existing, there would be no reason for the other.
I would wager that by this time next year, we will unironically be using the term military-grade deepfakes.
Yeah, and honestly, if everybody learned to question video, and like, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know if I can trust that. We might be better off.
Yeah. Think rationally. It's like, what's their real motivation for bombing Turkey?
Are we actually bombing Turkey? Perhaps we should talk to the Turkish people. Open a dialogue.
Have we always been at war?
Facebook is obviously, if you're going to try and fish somebody with a squirrely domain, the word Facebook in that domain is hugely valuable. And that's what one company has figured out, much to Facebook's chagrin.
Facebook sues domain name registrar over cyber squatting addresses. Those addresses include facebook-pw.com and www-facebook-login.com. Because of course.
My favorite was m-facebook.com. How does Facebook let that one go? So Facebook says, yeah, we understand that, you know, we didn't get these domains, but here's the problem. We've seen these used in phishing attacks, and when we contact them and they're like, hey, there's a problem here. You need to look at what's on your server. They're like, yeah, we'll get back to you. And they don't.
Yeah.
So it seems like they might know exactly what's going on their servers. They don't really care.
Bulletproof domain name registration.
But yeah, be real careful about clicking on those Facebook.com links.
Oh, we got a little bit of a follow-up from last week on this one.
I'm getting killed by President Trump is coming nearby to our town. Did that already happen?
No.
And I'm getting killed by text message spam.
Technically.
Where It's like, hey, this is President Trump here. Like, you know, he's personally messaging me. Just click this link, get your tickets. I don't think that's real. Yeah, this is this is a follow-up, but it's this is one of those things where it's a new avenue. They've opened up a new front.
Exclusive. The U.S. has opened a national security investigation into TikTok, according to sources. It's TikTok owner Beijing ByteDance Technology, but it has to do with their acquisition of Musical.ly.
Are there two L's in Musical.ly?
I don't think so. But
do you think somebody had without the L?
Probably. And I was like, damn it. Because remember, Tumblr used to be that awful domain name, and then they were like, okay, we got it sorted.
I don't know the Tumblr history, thankfully. But yeah, so they're looking into TikTok in terms of if it's bad, if China's spying on people through it, and if it's like bad and, you know, disinformation through TikTok. This is not that. This is just them trying to find anything that went wrong.
Yeah.
And they found some discrepancies about how they did this and didn't go through the proper channels in the U.S. So, letting China have it with both barrels any way that they can.
How does it feel to be the ant under the magnifying glass?
Is it really an ant, though?
We thought it was an ant. It turns out it's a very angry 800-pound Russian bear.
We thought it was... The ant is on the bear's head.
But the bear is very fancy.
So, yeah. They're not going to leave those companies alone. If you're a Chinese company doing business in the U.S., you're in trouble.
We didn't... This is the government section, right? In the business section...
This is social media.
Social, yeah.
Well, we did government before.
There's a... it's a story for the business section, but it's about how the U.S. is kind of asking TSMC to, like, come to America. We'll make you any deal you want to start fabricating stuff in America.
And this is what we talked about before. We've kind of already said it.
Twitter bans political ads as it turns up the heat on Facebook. This press event was like a rock show. Where he's like, yeah, we're Twitter, you know, we're doing worse than analysts predicted. And let me tell you, the bar was really low from those analysts. But I'll tell you what we're not doing. We're not taking money for political ads. Even as we're dying, even as we're spending the last dollars that the last venture capitalists will give us, we are not taking political ads.
But BuzzFeed pointed out, it's a very tiny percentage they make from political ads on Twitter. Yeah. Facebook actually does really well with political ads. So... yeah, not a huge sacrifice, just a good way to rub Zuckerberg's face in it.
You get a lot of press. I mean, that's no such thing as bad press, according to some people.
Yeah, I think honestly that's why they did the whole the politicians are allowed to lie, because they knew that if they lost Trump, there goes like half their traffic.
I never thought about it from that aspect. I wonder how much of that is what he's really thinking.
Do you think there's any chance, no matter who the next president is, if it's not Trump, that they could deliver the kind of traffic to Twitter that Trump did? I don't think
so.
No. Yeah. Because
no one would be that irresponsible.
It's one of those things where the outraged crowd are giving you two times more traffic than the supporters.
They're literally just reloading the thing.
Yeah. So, speaking of Trump and Twitter, he has staunch supporters on Twitter, and they won't ban Trump, but they'll sure as hell ban his supporters. And they did a lot of that. It seems like they're kind of calming down with it because of the whole, political bias backlash. But this was a particularly hilarious instance of that.
A little bit. This might should belong in the nonsense section, but it's fine. TechDirt has the article about a man who has sued Twitter for $1 billion, claiming his account suspension violated his right to worship President as a demigod. I think the word that he used was God Emperor.
The Golden God.
Oh, the Golden God. Okay. Yeah. So, and it, like, not even joking. Now, Twitter has reinstated his account.
It was a weak ban.
Yeah. It wasn't even like a long time, but he's like, no, that violates constitutional rights. And it's like, Twitter's private. It's not a public place.
How much is that a day?
More
than $100 million a day.
Yeah.
So, have the tweet that he made that got him in trouble was hang them all. Although he didn't point out that he has a good argument. He didn't say who exactly. Just hang them all. And they felt like that was bad. They banned him. And his lawsuit, man, he sued him on the grounds of freedom of religion, freedom of speech. He said they did damage. Unlawful seizure, I guess that's his account. Due process, I guess they didn't go through the proper channels. I don't know. The case was thrown out of court immediately, obviously, because Twitter is a private platform. They can do what they want. But I think this guy got what he wanted, which was attention. You think Trump retweeted any of his stuff?
That would only encourage him, which is, I don't know.
I think the odds are good. We've talked about Facebook moderators are not Facebook employees, and that's true of Google and everybody.
We've also reported on a number of them having deep, deep psychological issues, yeah, as you might expect from any human being subjected to that.
They talk about, you know, the one guy said he watched like 20 lizards die in one day, and that was all from different videos. It was just people killing lizards and posting the videos on Facebook, and he was like, I can't watch another lizard die. I just can't do it. Well, it turns out that maybe that's way worse than we ever expected, and so bad that you literally just can't do it.
Cognizant's decision to lay off 6,000 people and give up hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue demonstrates how hard of a job this is. And this, the headline was, why a top content moderation company has quit the business instead of fixing its problems. This talks about this company, 6,000 people. They're not necessarily all domestic workers. A good number of them are in foreign countries, but the article alludes to the problem with just finding people willing to do this job. Now, Cognizant made a profit of almost $500 million, according to this article, and they're having problems staffing people to do the content moderation.
They got to do the Henry Ford thing. Like, you got to pay people a lot of money to watch this horror. So much money that they can do it for a couple of years and then, you know, have a good buffer to go do something else with their life. But I don't think they're going to do that.
Wow. That seems like that would be a good novel. Like, maybe Cory Doctorow can get on that. It's like, I worked as a content moderator for 5 years. It's like, you know, I've been doing just awful hardship and everything's really terrible. So, and like, normally that story is, I joined the military and then whatever. Now it's going to be, I moderated content.
Well, that was the whole thing, the truckers during the Middle Eastern wars. Like, you weren't in the military. You hired on with one of those PMC companies and you just drove a truck. But you might get blown up. But they paid you a ton of money, and they paid all your expenses. So while you were gone, all of your money was just going in the bank. So, but it was a tough job.
Some people are willing to do that.
Now, do you think culturally, I guess there's nowhere in the world that there's enough of a culture divorce that, like, watching animals die. That's universal, right? Yeah. Although,
that might be evolutionary.
Although, if you're watching dogs get killed and lizards, wouldn't there be, like, butchers in China?
Well, I think it's also humanely. I mean, even...
That's true, yeah.
You know, it's like the animal did not suffer. There's a whole, like, ritual for killing animals in some culture. It's like this animal is going to die to sustain us. And, like, you go through the ritual and that's why.
But is there some place in the world that's just so hard and living there is so rough that they have a callousness that would make them the ideal Facebook moderator? Or would their callousness be like, well, they're just killing lizards. That's no big deal. Pass. No. I don't know. Probably not something that we should put humans through in 2019. Black Salve. You ever heard of it?
No.
This was new to me. I was really wanting to get Krista's take on this because she's like in tune with this kind of crazy Facebook stuff. I don't know why, how she is, but she seems to know about all of it. But apparently Black Salve is a big deal.
Black Salve is a dangerous fake cancer cure, but it continues to flourish in Facebook groups. Yeah, I don't know.
It said what it was, I've already forgotten. It's one like really common ingredient and then one dangerous sounding ingredient.
There was one time I got a really bad ingrown hair that was infected, and my mom, I think, had something like this, and she's like, just use this. And it actually did really, it cleared it up in just a few days.
There you go. What are you doing?
I don't think it was Black Salve. I don't know what it was.
Bloodroot and zinc chloride.
It only eats away cancerous or diseased tissue, according
also
to...
Also not true.
Yeah, not true at all. It extensively damages tissues.
So they talk about how this stuff is so caustic that they suggest, it's like, okay, here's what you got to do. You mix this up and then you put it under a bandage and it's going to hurt like hell, so get some opiates. Another great idea. So you can come through the other side of this with, you know, rotten flesh, and an opiate addiction. But apparently, this is a big thing now. Facebook has done some steps to try and, like, the search won't return these groups.
Hmm.
But they figure out a way to find them and participate.
Just like Facebook's monetization policy.
Yeah, it's like, obviously, this is a secret that works. Otherwise, they wouldn't be trying to hide it.
Obviously, this is an amazing news program, or they wouldn't be trying to hide it.
And finally, are you an eggplant person? Perhaps you're a peach person. Well, you're in trouble.
Facebook and Instagram are going to ban the quote-unquote sexual use of eggplant and peach emojis. They think it is down to solicitation. So, like, if you're using, you know, I guess, like, Craigslist shut down its whole section because of this a couple of years ago. And so now Facebook and these other social media companies are worried that these emoji are being used to solicit, like, prostitution and stuff is the excuse.
Well, I don't even think it's, I think it's, they want eggplant and peach to mean eggplant and peach. And if your post seems like you're meaning that they mean something else, as in human genitalia, that's crossing the line.
Are we literally describing thought crime?
I guess.
Or is it a crime or is it thought tort?
But this raises the question of, now that your moderation people are going out of business because it's, you know, a war crime to make people look at this all day, who's deciding?
Can you imagine the dystopia in the future where when you're communicating with another human and you want to be real with them, you have to outsmart the AI? It's like in war-torn downtown Detroit, it's like, things are really improving here and looking up. The sun is out today. It's a clear sky. I'm very, very hopeful for the future. And it's like, oh, wow, things are terrible.
How many, let's say that you work for that company, you know, or one like it. How many eggplant and peach tweets do you think they would expect you to go through in an hour?
Hundreds, thousands. I also liked, there were some comments here from adult industry performers. I don't know, porn stars? I don't know. And one of them talked about how they were banned from Instagram for saying that they could buy naked pictures on their website.
But in response to requests for naked pictures.
Yes.
Which, why only ban one side of that equation?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's pretty much it for this, or for today. We'll have more tomorrow.
We got to try to think of a way to incorporate eggplant and peach into the title of this news episode.
You know, I had to modify the feed ingester to be able to tolerate emoji, because the first time we did that, it just stopped.
Those titles seem to get a lot of response, though, which is kind of sad.